Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Just because you have peace doesn't mean you're going to have peace with all your relatives and family members and friends.
This is Straight Talk.
I'm Joshua Hollick with Pastor Mark Jobe at New Life Chicago. This is Straight Talk Radio, and we are so excited to be with you today. We believe that as we open the Word of God, things can change in a radical way. Pastor Mark, thank you for this series. You've titled it Fan or Follower, and today's message you've called Counting the Cost. What's that all about?
Yeah, there are certain passages in Scripture, Josh, that are just hard passages. This is one of them. Jesus sometimes was extremely gracious and loving, and other times he called people to a hard reality, hard truth, with grace, but it's difficult. This passage, Jesus is challenging. If you're a true disciple, there are some costs to pay. The cost of confession, the cost of commitment, and the cost of consecration. These words are challenging. I'm not going to water it down. I'm going to say, if you're going to listen to this message, this is a hard saying of Jesus, where he draws the line between a true fan and a true follower.
And if we're not willing, if we don't know that there's a line and we're not willing to cross it, well, we really give up a lot, don't we?
We do give up a lot. And some people don't even know that there's a line in the sand. And so what the truth does is it draws a line in the sand, and it forces us to ask this question: am I willing to count the cost and cross the line, or do I want to stay simply in the realm of being a sympathizer? If you're a sympathizer with Christianity, I'm glad, because you're close to the line. But I want to make sure you understand, being a sympathizer doesn't make you a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, kind of like living with your girlfriend and actually being her husband. There is more. There is something better. There is something divine about a relationship that Christ has also called us to the same thing, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And there are so many people that I talk to that would sympathize with the message of Jesus, but were never taught clearly that there is a decision that they need to make. There's a cost involved, not a monetary cost, but a cost of being willing to repent and turn and follow Jesus, and that's what this message is all about today.
And that's how we enjoy the most fruitful relationship with God.
Absolutely.
The only way. Well, this is Matthew chapter 10. It's called Counting the Cost in our Fan or Follower series. I know you're going to be challenged. Let's tune in now.
I got married 29 years ago. 29. That was a long time ago. If I would have told my wife at that time, hey, honey, I love you. I want to marry you. I'm proud of you. Can we do a secret ceremony? I don't think she would have been too excited about that. Don't tell anybody. Shh. I'm not going to wear a ring either, by the way. Shh. I love you with all my heart. I just, you know, I'm a private person. I don't want to go public. I would have had problems, let me tell you. Because my wife was saying, I want the world to know that we're getting married. I want it broadcast. I want my family members there, my friends there. I want you to wear a ring. I'm going to dress in white. We're going to celebrate this because we are married, and I'm excited about this marriage. I want everybody to know the good news. Now, not everybody's invited to the reception because it's too expensive, but I want everybody to know the good news that we are married. That was what she would have said to me. So if you come to me and you say, Pastor, I really believe in Jesus. I really want to follow him, but I want a private, secret baptism. I tell you, no. No. I'm not going to give you a private, secret baptism, because it needs to be a public baptism. People need to know. And that's why we let you say, we put a mic in front of your face and say, tell us why you're getting baptized, because we want you to publicly proclaim why you are choosing to follow Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says that one of the costs of following him is the cost of confession. The cost of confession. Now, before I go to my second point, let me simply say this. There are people in this auditorium that you were coming to this church, a Christian church, and your relatives and family members were fairly okay with it. But when you say, by the way, I'm getting baptized, then they're like, you're what? Well, I'm getting baptized. How could you get baptized? Are you serious about that? Some of you have had backlash from your family members and friends that don't like the fact that you're getting baptized. Some of you have had people that have ostracized you. Families come together to try to talk you out of it. People have said, I won't show up at your baptism. I have had people that I know that have gotten kicked out of their house because they were getting baptized. People, husbands that have refused to come to their wife's baptism. People that have fought about it because they know that it's a public step that you're taking. Which leads me to my second commitment. Not only the commitment of confession, but it's the cost of commitment. Look at what it says in verse 34. Jesus is speaking and he says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. But Jesus, I thought you were the Prince of Peace. Yeah. Internal peace. But just because you have peace doesn't mean you're going to have peace with all your relatives and family members and friends. And Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What does a sword do? It divides. It's sharp. It splits in two. It's symbolic of that. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You say, I got that covered, Pastor. The daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, that, you know. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What? I thought coming to Jesus, everybody would love each other more. I want you to hear what it's saying. It's not saying that when you come to Christ, that you're going to not love your daughter or son. Hopefully you will love them more. If you come to Christ, hopefully you'll be a better husband with a greater passion for your wife. When you come to Christ, hopefully as a wife, you'll love your husband more than you did before and honor him more. Hopefully, if you're a son or daughter, you will honor your parents in a greater way when you come to Christ. So the love is strengthened. But what Scripture is saying is that you have to make sure that God is above family. And that if you're following Christ, sometimes family will not support what you're doing. And if you make your family higher than God, then your family has just become an idol to you. You are an idolater. Jesus says, I want to be the center of your life. That's a hard saying, isn't it? That's difficult. Because we love family. In fact, he goes on to say, look what he says in verse 37. And anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In essence, what Jesus is saying is that sometimes following Christ will be opposed by people that love you. And you have to choose, will I follow God or will I follow men more? And sometimes you have to respectfully disagree with your family members that say, we don't want you. And you say, I have to follow God over following man or woman. And this is a difficult, hard choice. I remember when I was growing up, I had a friend. He was 17 years old and he went home and he told his mother that he was getting baptized, that he'd given his life to Christ. His mother slapped him in the face, boom, and said, I want you out of my house. I would rather you be dead than one of those. That could make you turn around. This young man went on to get baptized, knowing that his family was again, not out of disrespect. He said, Mom, I love you. And I always try to honor you. But I have to choose God over you this time. Hard choice. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. If you're following Christ, gives nothing, if it costs nothing, If it caused you not to lose anything, then it's probably worth nothing. Because when we follow Jesus Christ, there's a price to pay. There's a challenge of commitment in what it means to follow Jesus the Christ. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And what Jesus, in essence, is saying is that there's a cost about coming public about your faith. And you may be ridiculed by it because you go public. I am a follower of Jesus. There's a cost of commitment in which you may have to leave people behind or things behind that will oppose your following of Jesus. And it may be members within your own family that may oppose your following of Jesus the Christ. And the question that Jesus is asking is, am I at the center? Am I number one, or are other people number one? If you love your mother, father, brother, sister, girlfriend, boyfriend, job more than me, then you are not worthy of me, Jesus is saying, because you put something at the center of your life more than me, and that's called idolatry. I told you, this is a hard passage. This is a tough passage. I have a friend of mine, she was in her 20s when she came to Christ, and she was dating a guy that she had been dating for 7 years. 7 years. She came to Christ and started growing and learning and wanting to get baptized, and she was so excited about this and thought that her boyfriend would also be excited about it. But the more she shared with him, especially after she started getting a grip on the fact that her body was the temple of the Holy Spirit and that she wasn't going to sleep with him on the weekends anymore, he started becoming more and more opposed to her Christianity. And finally, after about 6 months or so, he sat her down and said, listen, I didn't start dating you, this version of you. You changed. I want the old you. And she said, but I don't want the old me. I want the new me. And he said, well, you're going to have to decide then. If you're going to follow that way, then I will no longer want this. This relationship is over. He fully believed that after 7 years, she would choose him over her relationship with God, because they had 7 years. They were talking about marriage, and she wrestled through it. She cried through it. She almost said yes, but then finally she came to grips and she said, how could I say no to the one who saved me, changed me, loved me? I will put my God first. And after 7 years of dating, she had to go back to him and say, I've chosen, I will follow Jesus Christ. And if it means I have to give you up, I'll give you up. And she did. Now, she's a single, lonely... No, actually, that's not true. She's... Thank God. About a year later, she met a wonderful guy. They've been married for years and have children. And God gave her the desires of her heart by giving her a godly man who she married. But at the time, she didn't know it. See, when you're counting the cost and giving something up, you don't always know what's going to be replaced. How about it? It's the pain of losing something without knowing for sure that it's going to be replaced, and she was willing to do that.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Counting the Cost, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Fan or Follower. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message, Counting the Cost.
Number three, it's the cost of consecration. In verse 38, Jesus says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is a tough verse. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, to our modern day society, taking up our cross is a foreign concept. Because when we think of a cross, you think about what's hanging around your neck, or what's hanging in over the bed in your bedroom or what's on your grandmother's dresser. And that's symbolic of Christianity. But in that century, in the first century, the Romans had perfected the art of crucifixion. In fact, the Jewish people at the time were very familiar with crucifixion. For example, when the Roman general Varus squashed a revolt in Galilee, where Jesus was from, in 4 BC, prior to Jesus' birth, he crucified 2,000 Jews and placed the crosses by the wayside along the road of Galilee. In other words, the people of that era had seen 2,000 of their countrymen crucified along the road. It was a horrible way of dying. Their arms were stretched. They were pierced with nails. It was a slow, agonizing way of shaming a person while they die, so that everybody could watch someone slowly and agonizingly die. That was the whole goal of this. The whole goal of Roman crucifixion was to tell people, if you treat us wrong, if you're a traitor, if you come against us, this will be your destiny. So people would see people agonize for hour after hour after hour. And usually people that died of crucifixion would die of asphyxiation, because after a while they were not allowed to hold themselves up because of the excruciating pain. Their lungs would fill with fluid and eventually they would choke to death. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, they understood that he was calling them to be willing to die to themselves and to be willing to walk that path of death to self, because they had seen many people carry their cross. In essence, what Jesus was saying is, if you're going to follow me, you need to be willing to die to the old self that you were so that you can live to the new self that you are becoming. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 through 29 is a parallel passage in which Jesus explains this concept a little bit more thoroughly. He says, and whoever does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Not that you won't be a good disciple, the best disciple, a missionary, pastor, leader. He says, no, unless you take up your cross, you cannot even be my follower or be my disciple. And then he says in verse 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and was not able to finish. So Jesus says, if you don't count the cost of taking up your cross, you're like the person that goes out and says, wow, I want to build a house. I saw a house down the block. Looks fantastic. I want to build it just like that. And you go out and you start building a house and you lay the foundation, you build a wall, and the constructor says, hey, are you ready for the next down payment? You say, what down payment? Really, it's going to cost that much? I don't have that much money. And he says, well, we can't finish the house. And so you leave a foundation and a wall built. But you can't finish it because you ran out of money because you didn't count how much it would cost to build the whole house. The neighbor comes out and says, wow, nice house, beautiful. This is going to be great. How come it's been like that for 3 months? You say, well, I ran out of money. Well, didn't you like figure that out before you started? I don't know. I just jumped into it and ran out of money. Every neighbor in your neighborhood, as they drive by that house, will point to it and say, hey, there's the fool that ran out of money. They started it, couldn't finish it. The little kids are, mommy, why is that house like that? They weren't able to finish it. Everybody will know you started but didn't finish. Jesus says the person that doesn't count the cost is like that person. It's the person that says, hey, Christianity sounds great. Jesus Christ, peace, forgiveness, God in you. Hey, I'm in. But they haven't counted the cost. And when it starts to get difficult, when there's a price to pay, when your friends reject you, when someone walks away, when someone calls you a holy roller, Bible thumper, Jesus freak, you say, hey, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't know people were going to like me. And so you walk away from it, and then all the friends around you will point to you and say, hey, weren't you one of those Jesus people like a year ago, and now you're downing a whole bunch of Jack Daniels at the bar with us. Hey, weren't you going to church before? Now you're snorting lines of cocaine with us in at the house. You're partying with us. Hey, weren't you? Hey, we knew that was a phase you were going through. We knew you'd grow out of it. We knew it wasn't going to last for a long time. And everybody will look at you and say, I remember when you were, but you didn't count the cost and finish it. Yeah, ouch, right? Jesus said, you need to count the cost of following me. It's not easy. There's a price to pay. There's a church in downtown Manhattan called the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. It's one of the largest churches in the world. It's an iconic feature of Manhattan and New York. It was built in 1892. It's supposed to be a landmark, but it can't officially become a landmark because there's a problem with this church. It's technically unfinished. You see, when they started to build it, they thought they had enough funds to finish it, but they ran out of money. They ran into World War I, World War II. They've had a fire. They've had a lot of things. So this church, one of the largest churches in the world, is technically unfinished. So it's affectionately known in New York as St. John the Unfinished. Everybody knows the nickname, St. John the Unfinished. They didn't count the cost right. My 21-year-old son was telling me about a commercial he had seen recently that kind of illustrates this as well. He said he saw a commercial in which a man is sitting in a chair at a tattoo parlor, and he wants to express his love for his girlfriend, Donna. And so he's telling the guy, tattoo it right here, big Donna, with a heart, because I love her. And so he's getting his tattoo done, and he's halfway through the tattoo, and he says, by the way, how much is this going to cost? The guy says, $50. He says, 50? I mean, I only have... He pulls out his wallet. He only has $41. And so the next scene, Donna's all mad at him, walking away. And he says, I'll finish it. Don't worry. I'll finish it. And the camera zooms in on his arm and it says, I love Don. He ran out of money to finish the rest of it, the N-A for Donna. And, you know, because he started it, but he was unable to finish it. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me finish with this. A couple of years ago, I was in Southampton in the UK, in London, in England. And I was speaking at a conference there. And I met a man. It was a very interesting man. We were both speaking at the same conference. And his name was Andrew Cannon White. And I loved his passion. Tall guy, half white, half black. When I heard his story, I was even more compelled to listen to what he had to say, because Andrew Cannon had been a medical doctor, a successful medical doctor, but after he was in his practice for a while, he felt God was calling him to ministry. So he left a lucrative medical practice to engage in ministry. The problem was that Andrew developed Parkinson's disease. And so Parkinson's disease affected the way he walked. It affected his speech, was a little bit slurred, although you could hear him pretty clearly. And so when he went to the presbyter to ask him if there was a church that he could take, a parish that he could pastor, they said, well, with your disease, there's really no parish that's going to take you. But there was one that no one wanted. It was in downtown Baghdad, Iraq. And you can imagine why no one wanted it. A very difficult place to be, outside of the protected zone, with a lot of animosity against the people that were there. And so Andrew, he told me this story when he was a couple of years ago. He was in Chicago, and he was having lunch with a couple of people. And he said, hey, Mark, you want to join us for lunch? And he told me the story of what was happening there in Baghdad. And over 1,000 people attend this church every Sunday. They show up and attend this service where the gospel is proclaimed and preached in the heart of a very difficult area. He said, in the last 2 years, we've baptized 13 people. I said, wow. He says, the challenge is all 13 of them, after getting baptized, were killed. All 13 of them were executed, killed, sought at their houses because they became converts of Christianity. They were executed and killed. Some of them were children. I remember walking away from that thinking, I just wonder how many people we would have take a step of believer's baptism if we knew that our life would be threatened. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Fan or Follower. This has been the second half of his message called Counting the Cost, which concludes our series. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for a brand new series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.